that's a lot of ice cubes.
Oops. Sorry about that.
You got ice all over my computer.
That's not the worst thing that's been on your computer.
It's not the worst place you put ice all over it. So anyway, hi everybody. I wanted to talk a little bit today about what we did today. First thing, well, not really first thing in the morning. We're doing Couch to 5K, and I haven't talked about it recently, by which I mean in a couple of hours, because, you know, if you're going to go to all this effort.
First thing in the morning.
Yeah.
The alarm goes off, and we both go, oh, God, make it stop.
Yeah, last time that happened, I couldn't understand why they wouldn't turn the alarm off. It turned out it was a bird in springtime in New Hampshire. We haven't heard birds in a long time. It was rough. I literally didn't know what it was. So anyway, today we're in day three of Couch to 5K, and that's the one where you walk for 5 minutes, you run for 20 minutes, and then you walk for 5 minutes. And we did it, and it wasn't that bad.
Nobody threw up or cried?
Nope. Didn't even think about it. So the moral of this story is you can too.
Yes.
And today I had to be out and about a lot, and I had some time to kill in between dropping off and picking up. So I went to Target with the intention of buying myself a lightweight butt-covering t-shirt, like a tank top, in a nice bright color, because we run on this country road and the dump trucks and whatnot come by and they almost run us over because we blend in with the woods. So I'm looking and I'm trying on this and that, and then I tried on a couple of sundresses, and then I found a shirt and I liked it and it fit and it was on sale and everything. And then I got back to the car and I realized it was dark green with sort of brownish wavy stripes on it. So this may be the last week before I get flattened by the asphalt guy.
But next time we'll surprise the moose.
Yeah. Oh yeah. We saw a moose. We saw a salamander. It's so exciting. You guys should do it too. All right. Well, now that I've gotten my little, is that a humble brag or was that just a brag? I don't know. I think I was just bragging.
You ran 20 minutes. You earned it.
I think so. And so did you. So I says to myself, changing topics, we need to have a logo for this podcast, because it was one of those days when I was like upset because nothing was done. So I decided I had to do everything right then and there.
Yeah.
So I went to Fiverr, which is where you can pay $5 or apparently like $20 or $40 or $200. But there's still some things that you can buy for $5. And I told this guy what I wanted for a logo, which was I wanted it to say Fishers of Pants podcast, and I wanted it to have a microphone wearing a pair of pants, because it was all I could think of at the moment. It's not especially clever, but I don't think I've ever seen that anywhere else before. And I paid him my $5, and bright and early the next day he comes back with like nothing of like what I asked for. It was terrible. I could have paid myself $5 to do such a crappy job.
But you get a revision, don't
well,
you?
Well, I'm $5. Entitled to two revisions, but I don't know. I spend enough of my time saying, that's not what I wanted. Why don't you listen to me? You know, I don't know if I can stand to do it to a stranger too. So
paying for the privilege this time.
Yeah. All right. Speaking of yelling at strangers, I heard an excellent, fabulous, much too good to check story about Pope John the 23rd. Do you know this story?
Have
you
heard? I believe I've heard it. Before? Go for it.
Okay. So I read this on Facebook, so it has to be true. Some workmen were renovating the hallway outside the papal apartments, and as they worked, their loud conversation was peppered with the names of God and Jesus and Mary taken profanely. Finally, fed up, Pope John the 23rd went out to the workmen and scolded them. Why can't you just say shit like everyone else? I don't know if he had a larger point in mind or not, but goodness gracious me. I mean, my thought is that you can say pretty much whatever you want, as long as you're not blaspheming or using God's name in vain or being irreverent to Mary or the saints, and as long as you're not deliberately trying to scandalize or offend or outrage people. But if you're just talking, then words are words. And there's no particular reason that, like, ASS is more offensive than BUTT. I mean, think about it. Think about it for a damn second. That's all I have to say.
I think you've been thinking way too much about this.
Well, maybe I have. Yeah. But John the 23rd is on my side.
Well, he was. I can't say it, folks.
He's not going to break his own rules.
Speaking of popes.
Yes.
Did you hear
that
Pope Francis gave
what? A
TED Talk?
Isn't
that just the worst?
That's, you know.
All right, first of all, TED Talks are in which moderately intelligent people explain mediocre ideas to dumb people.
Yep.
And everybody feels good about themselves because they're smelling their farts the whole time.
Yep. And then they do a whole other public radio show about TED Talks.
Oh, man. It makes me want to puke and rage.
Yeah, I know.
The whole TED Talk phenomenon.
Yeah.
And obviously, is it an attempt to be relevant? Did the Holy Father put on his skinny jeans and put his Pope hat on backwards to talk to them? What's up, my young people? I mean, come on. I'm done. You know what? I'm done. I'll go with them on anything else, but this... Forget it.
Wait.
See you later, Rome.
Okay.
I'm going to Topeka.
Pope Michael
all the way. I'm done with this nonsense.
I guarantee you Pope Michael does not do any TED Talks at all. Now,
he's still on dial-up.
Well, I know, but it's but it's Rome. They just recently got washing
machines. No, I mean Pope Michael.
Oh, Pope Michael, yeah. No, I've been to Kansas. It's actually pretty happening. Kansas is a strange place. It's like, it's either like one of those ready-made... strip mall cities with, you know what I mean? That it's just like, there's just like
brand new
Chili's and.
Because 10 years ago, the last city got wiped out by a tornado.
Oh, maybe that's what it is, actually. That's weird. You know, somebody was telling me that this is a different part of the country, but speaking of tornadoes, they have these little like tornado survival bunkers that are under the ground. And like you climb into them and you close the doors over you and you let the storm go over you.
Called basements.
But they're not though. I mean, they're just big enough for like a couple of people to be in. And what happens a lot of the time is that the house or whatever rubble will collapse over you and cover you completely. So rather than like having your head just like neatly lopped off by a flying tree or something, instead you get buried under rubble for 5 or 6 days until you die under the ground. Isn't that awesome? So, you know, if you make
so, what we're saying is the Midwest sucks.
I know.
That plus the food. I mean, come on. How much pork fat do you need?
I'm trying to remember what I ate last time I was in Kansas. Well, the last time I was in Kansas was the first time I had shawarma. So make of it what you will. All right. Oh, okay. You want to talk about poverty appropriation?
Oh,
it's
dear God.
Kind of a pain in the neck.
Wasn't that what
title.
Pope Francis's TED Talk was about?
Yeah. Oh. He was talking about, like, if you're. The gist of it was that if you're tolerant enough, then people will stop beheading you. I'm pretty sure that's what it was.
Why the shit not?
All right, so poverty appropriation. This is a real thing, which I have noticed, is that, you know, it's not new either. It's hip and trendy to take on the trappings of poverty. So you have these tiny houses, right? And they cost, you know, $75,000 to build these gorgeously, which is not a large price for a full house. But on the other hand, you know,
it's like 200 square feet.
Right. And they're beautiful and they're very well designed and they're very, okay. So there's that. And it's different somehow from living in a trailer. I remember when you and I tried to buy a trailer and we got turned down by the bank because our credit wasn't good enough to buy a trailer. Oh, I had put on nylons and everything. As I recall, that was painful.
We're not impressing anybody.
No, I wasn't all that impressed myself. Yeah. And they were right. They should not have loaned us money at that point in our lives. Yeah. They were absolutely right.
Yeah. But then we got along.
Yes, we did. Yeah, I know. Look at us. Suckers. We're sitting on our couch right now. We got our microphone propped up on a case of toilet paper and everything. So we're living the dream.
Which I just want to say, I was told not to get the fancy toilet paper, but to get the cheaper toilet paper.
Because I don't want to feel guilty when I'm wiping my butt. Okay, that's why. I don't like it when a roll of toilet paper only lasts a couple of hours. I think it's stupid and it makes me feel
bad. But a roll of toilet
bad.
Paper only lasts a couple of hours anyway in this house.
At least it accomplishes something on the way.
All right. In any event.
Well, poverty appropriation. It's also, I guess you can go to these restaurants and they will give you like mac and cheese and fried Twinkies, just like poor people drink. And like all the drinks are in paper bags. Like they'll put your can in a paper bag. Oh, so you can, isn't that disgusting?
Yeah.
Isn't that just completely disgusting? I don't know what's the matter with these people. And I remember seeing, I don't know, it was like an old Doonesbury cartoon or something where this rich woman is talking to her maid. She's talking to her housekeeper and she says, I'm so busy. I have to, you know, hold this tennis seminar and then I have to go to this fundraiser and then I have to meet this person. We're going golfing and everything. And it wasn't a very funny joke, but the woman says, you know, the difference between you and me is that you're busy as you want to be and I'm as busy as I have to be. And that's the thing about poverty. You don't have a choice about anything. Everything. And you know, maybe some of these things are your fault. I'm not saying that all poor people are, goodness knows, not all poor people are virtuous any more than all well-off people are what's the other opposite? Unvirtuous.
Sure.
Yeah. So, anyway, there are good and bad poor people and good and bad rich people. And there's a huge, huge element of luck in there, which I don't think people recognize. I'm getting off topic. Anyway, what I was talking about was that being poor means not having a choice for things. And the main idea of the essay was that there's nothing simple about being poor. And I remember that. I mean, we were pretty darn poor for a lot of years. And I remember how complicated everything was. You could never just go anywhere. You had to figure out if it was possible and who to ask to make it possible and which things would have to come and fall into place so that you could, you know, make sure there was enough money in the bank so that you could put gas in your car so that you could go that day. You know, that's just basic things. But I remember reading, what's the guy's name? Tom Wolfe. The Bonfire of the Vanities was a far superior book, but he wrote a book called A Man in Full, which was pretty good. It didn't have the same clout, but it was about this guy, and he had some bad luck, and he made a few poor decisions, and one thing led to another, and the next thing you know, he was in jail, and he wasn't really supposed to be in jail exactly. I mean, he had done the thing they accused him of, but there was a reasonable explanation, and there was a reasonable explanation behind that, and there was this whole just cascade of bad luck, basically, that had happened to him. And boy, I was going somewhere with this, but I feel sorry for poor people, I guess. So,
yeah. It's kind of disgusting when rich people play act. They're poor.
Yeah. And not,
it always bugs the hell out of me when some middle-class kids decide they're going to find out what it's like to be homeless and sleep on the street. It's like, buddy, you have no idea. You really have no idea.
Yeah.
And rather than waste all of our time with that nonsense, go work at a soup kitchen.
Yeah. Or actually ask.
Or give somebody $5.
Give them $5, seriously. Give them, my favorite story about the giving $5 to the homeless guy. Supposedly this was C.S. Lewis. I've heard it attributed
C.S. Lewis was walking with Tolkien.
Okay. Oh, I forgot I have a Lewis and Tolkien story too.
Yeah. All right, and go ahead. So Tolkien gives a beggar some money and C.S. Lewis says, how do you know he's just not going to spend that on drink? And Tolkien says, well, I was going to spend it on drink.
Yeah. That doesn't sound like C.S. Lewis, though. Maybe when he was younger.
It could be. They did not like each other. They were friends, but they did not like each other.
Well, they were like frenemies, basically.
Yeah.
I read an interesting thing, though. I think it was on like Atlas Obscura or something like that. Apparently they did. Yeah. I mean, they had different ideas about the place of allegory and how much, basically how heavy-handed you ought to be when you're writing from a Christian point of view, when you're writing a novel as a Christian. Are you writing a Christian novel or are you writing a novel as a Christian? You know, and you could see who fell on which side. But, and that wasn't the only difference, but they agreed that Disney sucked, which I thought was amazing.
That is,
they both went to see Snow White. And apparently C.S. Lewis thought that Snow White herself was kind of okay, which I cannot understand because that bitch gives me the horrors.
He had a type, didn't he?
Scary. Yes. Yeah. So, all right, which Tolkien didn't. I mean, you can see how the Snow White, oh dear, that doesn't fit.
Apparently he was really mad about the dwarves.
Well, yeah, well, that's the thing. I mean, Lewis and Tolkien both had dwarves in their, and they were not sneezy and dopey and so on.
No.
They thought that Disney was vulgar, and that he, which he certainly was. He most certainly was. I mean, and he wasn't trying to do the same kind of thing. You know, he wasn't trying to produce great art, but Disney had kind of grandiose ideas about what he was doing. Accomplishing. I think
to an extent. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. I just made
But anyway, did you also have a story about Tolkien and C.S. Lewis and one of them wearing the cowboy hat?
Yeah, but I'll tell that one next time.
All right. Okay.
If we get enough sponsors, I'll tell that one next time. It's a doozy. You know, Benny wanted to know what a doozy was today, and I had a really difficult time explaining what
That's
a doozy
a good question.
Was.
What is a doozy?
I don't know. Because, you know, it was a typical thing. I said, oh, don't do that one. Why not? Oh, it's a doozy. Your face is a doozy. I don't know what a doozy is. Mama, what is a doozy? it's when there's a really... Well, I don't know. I don't know what a doozy is. No. Hey, I got a doozy for you right now.
All right.
speaking of solidarity with the poor, do you remember... Oh, back in 2016.
Wait, let's hold up. I thought we weren't going to talk about politics on this podcast.
It's not politics.
Okay.
It's just stupid people. It's disappointing stupid people, which I agree has some convergence with politics.
Can I just say, I am neither surprised nor disappointed because I didn't expect anything less of these people.
Okay. Well, back in 2016, when there was a presidential election on, there were some people who could not bring themselves to vote for any of the mainstream candidates, which I certainly understand. I stood in that voting booth for a good 5 minutes before I was able to bring pencil to paper, let me tell you. And that is not a metaphor, because we still use pencil and paper in New Hampshire. There was a candidate named, I don't know how to pronounce his name, Mike Maturin, M-A-T-U-R-E-N.
Yes, the... American Solidarity Party.
American Solidarity
the,
so, Party.
The political party that had to have a public argument amongst itself over whether or not to legalize, as part of their platform, whether or not to legalize child pornography.
Oh, okay. All right.
I know there might be some nuance to it.
I read.
But you don't have these conversations in public, you dipshits.
Yeah, that's true. There's no way that that's true. That's a good point. I read the whole context and it's not as bad as it sounded. But Damien is certainly right. This is the kind of thing that you hash out.
You get a private
email server.
You don't really have to have that conversation anyway.
Yeah. Well,
should we make child pornography illegal? Fuck yes! Who asked
anyway,
that? Get him out of here.
That's not the point. They were billed at, they were the ethical choice. They were the choice for people. Well, they were. That's what they were trying to be. And I sincerely believe that they were trying to be. And again, this is not a political podcast. All I'm trying to say is that I was on Facebook the other day and this particular fellow
former presidential candidate,
Facebook friend of mine, and his status was, is your body summer ready? If you want to drop the pounds fast, let's chat. The son of a bitch is selling nutritional shakes. He really, really is.
Oh, but let's be clear here. When you get when you're selling nutritional shakes or saran wrap for your butt or or phone cards or whatever it is, what shape of a business would that be? Would it be a round shape?
It's not a round shape, no.
Is it a square shape?
It's not a square shape.
What shape is that?
I would call it, now it's like a triangle. But
it is very much
like
a triangle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think I would call it more of a pyramid.
Pyramid. Yeah, pyramid scheme.
Right.
There's
and
some
the
solidarity
only
for
way,
you.
Yeah, the only way that you could succeed is if you rope in somebody else and that person fails. That is the only way that you can succeed when it's a pyramid scheme. That's how it works, and that's how you make your money. Plus, the product itself is disgusting. I don't even remember which one it was. I don't know if it was Plexus or I don't know.
Oh, you were alienating
thing.
All of your
good
Tony Robbins fans out there. That's the thing.
I just, you know, I went through a phase where I was actually doing the shake replacement thing to lose weight because I just couldn't deal with counting calories. And it was just easier to have two shakes a day and then have supper. And I lost weight. But it was disgusting. It was a disgusting way to live. And that's for astronauts and people with no teeth. And everybody else should be eating things. And
and if you were going to bill yourself as the ethical alternative to Republicanism and the Democratic Party, for fuck's sake. Pyramid scheme? Come on.
All right. Let's move along. We just recently passed the 100th birthday of Ella Fitzgerald. Ella Fitzgerald. He has a funny look on his face.
I always get her confused with Billie Holiday.
Okay. We'll take care of this later.
Okay.
Okay. Billie Holiday is the one who always sounds like she's in horrible pain because she is. And Ella Fitzgerald is the one who always sounds like she's happy because she is. Also, Ella Fitzgerald is the one who's famous for scatting.
Oh, shit.
Okay. I know. Okay. But it's entirely possible to listen to hundreds and not she recorded songs for six decades or something like that. Tremendously prolific. Worked. Loved performing. But she was completely untrained. It was a completely natural talent. I mean, it was the most amazing. Oh. She has one of the five greatest voices I know. Of anybody, of all the voices I've ever listened to in my life. I mean, without hesitation, possibly the greatest voice. Not trained. She was...
That's interesting.
Yeah. Her dad took off when she was really young. Her mother remarried some guy who was not good to her. I don't know the details of it. And then the mother died when she was 16 or something. And she was she moved in with her aunt, and then she was living on the streets for a couple of years. And started singing in, she went to a talent night, like amateur mic night at the Apollo Theater in Harlem, and was planning to dance because that's what she did. And she was too scared and her knees were shaking, so she sang instead. And everybody thought she was really good, and she was really good. And she kept on singing. I love that. And they mentioned, I heard this story in NPR, they mentioned that her teachers had written down in her report cards that she was the one who was always laughing and singing and having a good time and cheering everybody up, which is nice. But the thing that got me was that the thing that I always noticed about her was that I was always taught when I was singing not to pronounce R's or not to hit them very hard. And there's various ways that you can hit R's, especially at the end of a line.
Yeah.
Like I should have prepared something ahead of time, but if the line ends with a word that ends with an R, well, you know, you've heard singers and nobody goes at the end. Well, she does. And it kills me because it's like the least elegant thing that you could imagine, but she doesn't care. That's how she does. That's just how she sings. And I don't know if anybody ever, I have to look up and see if anybody's ever remarked on that before, because it always struck me so much. And it was just one of the many wonderful, wonderful things about her sound.
Let me ask you, who are the greatest voices? Performing voices.
Oh, that's a very good question.
You said she's one of the five best.
All right. Well, this Fritz Wunderlich, German tenor who died at age 33, falling down a staircase, and he broke his neck.
Oh, gosh.
But an amazing voice as clear as a as clear as can be. Yes, and an amazing face too. He looked like a polished, happy piece of ham. Let's see who else. Oh boy, you know what? I'm gonna have to get back to you on this. Who would you put on the list?
I think
if you say Bob Dylan,
no,
okay,
but like them or not,
yeah,
20th century American voices.
Yep,
you have to. It starts with Elvis and Sinatra. It just does.
I got a friggin' problem with Sinatra.
Well, he's a horrible person.
No, that's not the problem that I have, because I my problem with him is that he is cold, cold, cold. It's pure. He has pure control over his voice.
But you,
and it's not a human voice.
But you may not like it, but it is a great voice.
I admire his skill.
Yeah.
I very much admire his skill, but I do not enjoy listening to that man because he is cold.
Well, all right, now I'm going to make my recommendation to everybody who has not read Frank Sinatra Has a Cold to read... I believe it's Gay Talese. find it's a long magazine article. Frank Sinatra has a cold, and when you read it, you'll go, "Oh my gosh," and you'll understand Dante's Inferno. Okay. I'm not kidding.
Read I believe it. You. I'll read it. I'll read it. And guess what? We're out of time.
Woo!
Okay. Well, bye.